And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Luke Smith.
How you going?
Good to be back. So far, so good. It's a lovely day. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. We're facing a long weekend. It's going to be warm. There's going to be plenty of things to do. I don't think it doesn't get any better than this, does it?
No. Look, and I think we should be making the most of what we all know is coming.
What, winter?
Yeah, winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
But no, it's t-shirt weather, and yeah, it's.
It's a cracker today. It's absolutely a cracker. It's going to be very warm over the weekend. Probably a touch too warm for some people, but, you know,
yes.
It won't last. There will be winter eventually.
Correct.
Just before the news update, I got an email from a listener who is called Chris, and he said, can you tell Luke Smith that I enjoy listening to him as well and that I went to the Harry Hartog bookstore to buy his book, hoping for a discount, but I was disappointed to find that it's out of stock. Oh. It's a bestseller, Luke. It's flying off the shelves. You're going to have to go and restock it.
Well, look, if he's found a book somewhere, if he wants another one, come into the office. I'll give him an extra copy, whip a signature in it, reduce its value, and then he's got one for him and potentially one for his partner. So.
All right, fantastic. Of course, obviously, the book has been quite successful. How long has it was?
12 months.
Year? 12 months, yeah. It's almost a whole year.
I think 24th of March we dropped the book.
There you go. So coming up on 1 year, it's been very, very successful. And, of course, the book is simply called Smart Money Strategy, Your Ultimate Guide to Financial Planning. Mm. Available, as they say, in all good bookstores except the ones that have sold out.
Correct. And they're probably still good bookstores, but, you know, they just need to stock it up a little bit quicker.
Absolutely. Today we're here to talk about a very timely topic.
Yes.
How to invest during strong markets and record prices. Because the share market here and around the world has been going gangbusters lately, hasn't it?
Yes, look, very much so. Coming off the lows of October last year, we've seen a very, very strong and sustained rally for a range of different reasons, with a large driver there being inflation coming under control or being lower than it was before.
Yep.
And now the talk of interest rates being up around the top and the leaking of, oh, the next move is down, but we don't know when. And with equity markets looking forwards, we've also come through a very strong reporting period where a lot of companies' earnings were in line or better than expected. So it's been a very positive period. And that, whilst it's great, the double-edged sword of that is, yep, well, what do I do with more money, or what do I do with cash, or what do I do with the proceeds from the sale of my business? And today we're just going to touch on some things to keep things in context and some strategies that people can consider using, because it's very dangerous to say, well, I'll just wait for that to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, we use CBA as an example only because everybody knows Commonwealth Bank. And, you know, there's a prime example. Great company, great stock, trading at record levels, potentially, don't hold me to it, potentially one of the most expensive banks in the world on a price to earnings ratio at 19 or 20 times.
Well, I'll just quickly check today's closing price for CBA, $121.45. All right, so it's gone up again since last time we looked at it.
So there's a great example. So it was expensive at $100. So you go, well, I'll wait for it to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. It rallies, you miss out. So that's a great segue into staggering into an asset. I think it's very dangerous to be all in or all out when you're investing new money. Now, one way to come at that is to say, all right, I can buy CBA at 117, 120, 121. Do I like it fundamentally? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, if you were going to put $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of it into your portfolio, if you were going to put $10,000 of it as a total exposure in your fund, think about buying 5 or 3. Because if it keeps rallying, it can go to a stupid level longer than you can wish you'd bought it,
mm-hmm,
or stay sane thinking about it. So again, if we're all out, we've got no upside. If we put a foot in and say, well, I'll buy 5 of 10, I'll buy 10 of 30, I'll buy 20 of 50,
yeah,
you've got some room to say, all right, if it rallies, I've got some skin in the game, I make some money, great.
Yeah. Now, what you're talking about is a strategy called dollar cost averaging.
Yeah.
And dollar cost averaging in its purest form is basically allocating a certain amount of money that you will invest into the share market on a regular basis,
yes,
periodically, over a period of time.
Yes.
Now, there can be a number of different ways of approaching that, but as an example, you could decide to invest $1,000 every month,
yes,
and over the course of the year, you've invested $12,000. But
yes,
what you've achieved by doing that is averaging out the price that you've paid.
Exactly right, and a great way to be able to say, do I know when it's going to come back? No. Do I know where it could go? No. And if you'd have said to me in October, with CBA at $100, oh, it'll be up 20%+ from here, most people would have laughed at you. Because we saw last year go up and down, up and down, up and down. And it just illustrates that sentiment and an improvement of economic sentiment, which is what we've seen since October, can be a catalyst for things to rally. And we've seen that across most sectors. So it's a great way to say, buy some on some weakness. Yes, that's great. Dollar cost averaging, spot on. If I'm going to drip something in over time, and that's really good for your, yeah, your ETFs as well. So if you've got a wrap account over your self-managed super fund or you're in a personal super fund, you might say to them, hey, here's $2,000 of 10,
yeah,
and let's drip feed that in over 12 or 18 months to try and mitigate the risk.
And, great strategy. Other effect of that is that you are investing a fixed amount of money, so when the price of the share has fallen, you're getting more shares,
yeah,
for that money. If the price has gone up, okay, you're buying fewer shares, but that's, yeah, reducing your risk a little bit too.
Well, that's right. And nothing more frustrating for people, especially if you're new to investing, where you go, oh, I bought it all at 121. And then in 3 weeks' time, somebody has a board meeting, does something, says something, and it's at 105, and you don't have any cash because you're fully invested. So having a little bit of your powder dry to say, oh, something's happened, and you can jump on that. Now, the problem is it fights the psyche.
Yes.
Between your ears to
it
go.
It does require a bit of discipline, doesn't it?
It does. It requires a huge amount of discipline and I guess consistency, because if you set it up into an ETF or a managed fund with regular investments, dollar cost averaging, you don't have to think about it. That's a lot harder to do with a directly held share, because you've got to action the trade, and you want to action the trade during times of adversity, which you know, okay, I'm getting it at a discount, but what if it goes lower?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the internal fight that you have, and this
that
is
means you can get an even better bargain next month.
Well, and potentially this is why you might, you know, over 30 grand do 10, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
And have a little bit dry just to be able to do that if it did fall. But eventually you need to be invested, because the other thing is, whilst you're out of the market, you're not receiving dividends. So you've foregone potential dividends, you've foregone the benefit of franking credits and the income that stock generates. But you also need to keep in mind that the more expensive it is, the lower the yield is on the earnings that you have. So you've always got to look at a stock or an ETF or a fund or anything that you buy and say, what is it doing for me? And why have I got it? Because some stocks pay income. Some stocks are more about growth. Some stocks give franking credits. Some stocks don't. So you've really got to sort of make sure that if you're going to buy something, even at record prices,
yep,
$100 was expensive 3-4 months ago. $120 expensive. At $150, we'll be going, ooh, $120 looked good.
It did, didn't it?
When you're at $120, you're going, ooh, I don't know. But
yes,
again,
exactly,
come back to some fundamentals.
The psychology of it is quite fascinating, but that's one of the reasons why a regular investment program helps take some of that psychological challenge out of it.
Yeah.
The question I have now, though, is that this being the case, the eternal dilemma is, if the share market is up and you've already got shares, that's great. You're ahead. Mm. You've got a profit. But if you're still looking to buy more, you're not getting the bargains that you were, and you're still wondering, well, am I going to get some more bargains?
Yeah.
Is it a good idea to allocate a certain amount of your capital that you keep as cash? And if that's the case, how much of your capital should you put aside and keep as cash?
Yeah. So again, when we're thinking about the broader asset allocation of our portfolio, we may have certain rules or parameters that we use on a person-by-person basis. So let's say, for example, one of your rules of your investment portfolio is that you don't have more than 5% of an individual asset in a portfolio. So if you've got a raft of different investments, ETFs and everything else in there, you may not want to have more than a 5% allocation in any one listed share, because then if you do end up having more and more and more, you can have too much of a good thing, because it can have an increased impact on your portfolio in times of negative movements. So coming back to the discipline that you spoke about, I think it's very important that if we hold a portion in cash, you want to be able to add, I think, potentially 5% in a sector. If things are expensive, you may need to be patient, because it's hard to be disciplined at record levels with a share. It's easier to take the emotion out of an ETF or a fund, because you can just allocate it on time. And that old adage of time in the market, not timing the market, is very true, because the benefit of compounding is adding and leaving and time. So if you do sit out, it can get very expensive. And I've always worked, I heard this said by one of the brokers that we've used for, you know, a couple of decades now. And he said to me once at lunch, you can always explain a trade. You can never explain no trade. And that really stuck with me. And I heard him say that to me in probably 2000. And I would much rather say, okay, is it a good quality company? Is it part of our asset allocation and in line with our risk? Yes, let's have some. And then on dips, you can have a nibble. And if you kept 5 to 10% of your portfolio in cash, if you kept another 5% during stronger periods, it gives you that buffer. And at the moment, you're going to pick up 4.5% in a bank account. So you're not being punished for being overly defensive like we were for the last decade, because cash never paid.
Yeah.
You're rewarded with some earnings. So I think rising interest rates have afforded us a luxury of being a little bit more patient, so that if we do buy on bad news or a bad reporting period or something adverse, then we can jump in and have a nibble. But I have no problems running 5 to 10, potentially 15% cash, because a lot of people in retirement will also hold, I think, at least 12 to 18 months of pension money in cash, so that you're always thinking 12, 18 months in advance for times like COVID, where you're not selling something under duress. In the same vein, if you're holding some cash and something does dip, you know you've got a year's pension money. Well, it wouldn't kill you to have a nibble, because you could also take profit out of other places to top them up, because a pension account is a tax-free vehicle. So you're not having adverse capital gains consideration. So 5 to 10% of playing money, and I think accumulating your dividends. The other big one, because we're talking about record prices, dividend reinvestment plans. Now, you need to be mindful that you've got two views of this. I'm going to dividend reinvest because I don't need the income. Great. But then you're choosing, or you're forced to keep buying stock at record levels, which you may not like. Now, you can turn that off. You might say, well, I'd rather take some dividends at record prices. And if, you know, something happens and the market cools down 5 or 10%, then I can turn that back on, or I can buy some more with the cash that I get from the dividend. So there's another way of trying to mitigate throwing all of your earnings at record prices in the various assets that you hold. But I think we just need to come back to, what's your philosophy? Are you going to stick to it? And if you can, automate out the emotion, so that you're not sitting on the fence thinking, should I, shouldn't I? Because the bill for regret is always a lot more expensive than saying, well, why didn't I just do it? Because you know, we always know more with hindsight.
We do indeed. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio today. We're talking about how to invest during strong markets and high prices. It's about 10 minutes to 5. Back with more in just a moment. Well, it's about 7 minutes to 5. It's a Friday afternoon. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, and Luke Smith is telling us how to make money. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
What could you want on a Friday before a public holiday?
Exactly. Oh, right. Long weekend. It's all good. Today we've been talking about how to invest during strong markets and record prices, which is very, very timely, because that's exactly what the market is experiencing right now. So, Luke, what are the key things that people need to remember?
Yeah, so think about averaging into a position over time. You know, remember, most portfolios are going to be around for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah.
So racing out and panicking that you haven't got it fully invested in the first 6 months, I think, is a little irrational. And as we said before the ad break, if you're going to buy part of a holding, whether you're in a wrap account or an industry fund or wherever you can, if you can dollar cost average in and control that with the vehicle that you're using, and that could be a family trust, it could be a private company, could be anything.
Yeah.
Average in over time, buy maybe a third, and then get the 2/3 over a 12-month period, so that you can ride the highs and lows of last year, and the time going forwards. And if you think about the application of that over 2023, we had a number of months there where, you know, you had almost a sawtooth movement of way up, way down. So that's a great way of buying in additional units at a lower price, or still having some skin in the game, so that when markets do rally and prices get crazy, they can get even crazier. So having a foot in each camp, I'm in a little bit, I'm out a little bit, allows you to then buy on weakness or average in over time and get a full position. I think people also need to remember when they buy things. So we're coming into 30 June, and if you buy a lot of new holdings right at the end of the financial year, a lot of investments, funds and ETFs will pay dividends at 30 June. So be mindful that if a dividend is paid in a fund or an ETF, generally the price will fall because the share price has that upcoming dividend priced into it. And if you buy a lot of assets leading into June, what you've actually done is you've bought in at a higher unit price to then receive a distribution at 30 June that you haven't had a lot of uplift in the share price on, to then pay tax on the income. So think about when you're going to buy things, especially now leading into 30 June. Okay, do I wait till July and then buy at a lower unit price because the distribution has been paid? If you're buying fixed interest, check that as well. Converting preference shares is a great example. They accumulate the upcoming dividend in the share price. They pay out the dividend, and then the unit value falls. So again, if you don't want to pay unnecessary tax, buy things at the right time. Use automation and technology. If you can automate something and take the emotion out of the purchase over a 5, 10, 15, 20 year period, you will be happy with the assets that you've bought, because over time things generally do go up in value, and you'll also be able to receive a good income stream. If you're buying for income as your driver, then you need to remember that your earnings into your share price will come and dictate the yield that you get as a dividend. So think about that if you're trying to buy something as an increased amount of income compared to another asset. Because if the share price has rallied, the yield, unless the earnings have gone up, the yield you're getting is coming down. And then use things like ETFs and the like to be able to get a really broad level of diversification if you want to avoid that individual stock picking conundrum that we spoke about before the ad break in relation to, well, what is fair value for something and do I sit out? ETFs are wonderful vehicles to get really good diversification. They're very cost effective, and you still get all the income, the dividends and the franking credits from them. So they're a great way to average in. And limit the pain of trying to stock pick.
So, Luke, where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au. We've got the strategy stack of Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got the YouTube channel Envision Financial Canberra. And we'll also be sponsoring the National Capital Horse Trials, which are on Friday through Sunday, the 15th to the 17th, at Equestrian Park next weekend, which is on Cotter Road. There's a big horse event there, so it's free admission for people to come and watch. And they've got show jumping, dressage, cross country. And if you like horses and you like me, you've got little girls at home that are fascinated by big animals like that, come along and have a look.
Fantastic. Luke, thank you very much. I'll go off and invest in some high-priced shares now. And
me too.
We'll catch up with you again next Friday afternoon.
See you next week, mate.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial back with us again at the same time next Friday.